Hello, fit and proper listener. This is just a message from Reese, the co-host and main and best host of this podcast, to let you know that I have been on tour since January and the spring leg is complete, but I have extended my tour of my stand-up show Spilt Milk into the autumn. We start in August, which I appreciate is summer, at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival for 1 week at the Pleasance, and then I move on from September to go back all around the UK once again in your classics, your Manchesters, your Birminghams, your Sunderlands, your Peterboroughs, and then the smaller places, your Newburys, your Andovers, your Swindons, even going to Ireland, Belfast and Dublin. London dates to be announced. There's all sorts, all on my website, far more than I've said. Northampton, you know, all sorts. So do get on there, reesejames.co.uk. Get yourself some tickets. We're sure to have a fit and proper evening. I'll see you there. Welcome to Fit and Proper. I'm Reese James.
And I'm Lloyd Griffith.
Each week, we delve into the murky world of football club ownership. We're giving control to our famous guests to run their beloved club in their own way.
They can do whatever they like, from changing the manager to moving the stadium closer to their house, sacking their mascot to insisting all their players have blue dreadlocks.
But their decisions will be scrutinised heavily, just like a real owner, firstly by Lloyd and I, and then our supercomputer, which will analyse the data and decide if they are a fit and proper person to run a football club. Hello, Lloyd. How are you today?
Oh, I thought you'd never ask. Thanks very much. I'm good, actually. I'm good. Just had some apple cider vinegar.
Oh, wow. Does that mean you're good? Or yeah, what are you doing that for? Is that some sort of health potion?
I am what they would call a sucker for a shortcut.
Yep. Ah.
Sucker for a shortcut. So have I done the Atkins? Yes. Have I done 5-2? Yes. Have I done intermittent fasting? Yes. Did I see an Instagram ad that said...
Keto. Have you done keto?
Not done keto. I don't believe in that. I think that is... That's not for
but
me.
Isn't keto the most delicious one? Because isn't keto like upping the amount of fat you eat and it gets your body used to it or something mad?
Well, then I've been doing
isn't
keto
it like low carb?
I've been doing keto for the last 35 years, mate, and it's not worked.
Yeah.
But then I also have been having carbs as well. So I've been doing kind of like a hybrid keto. Anyway, so I went and bought some apple cider vinegar from a Boots at 10 to 12 at Liverpool Street Station last night.
And what is apple cider vinegar supposed to do? What's the benefit?
Stop bloating. Flatten your stomach. I mean, I'm really putting a lot of like.
You're going to get one of those things that they used to market in like the early noughties. 100% to middle-aged women that makes your stomach.
Are you on about the little
vibrating? It was just vibrating thing you just put around your stomach that supposedly does it for you. It's like an ab workout for you.
Did I buy an ab roller when I was 17 years old? Yes, I did. was it used as a clothes horse for the following year and a half before I left university? Yes, it was.
Of course, it was.
I am a big fad wanker, and I will absolutely. I saw this, and then I did some YouTubing of it, as you always do. I mean, for health benefits. I mean, don't consult a doctor. Go to YouTube, which is essentially, you know, the new NHS. So, and then basically, there's a doctor there called Dr. Motivation or something, and he said, "Your stomach will be flat in 7 days." I was like, mate.
"He sounds legit. He sounds very legit."
He also helps me with my congested nasal canal as well.
Well, this podcast isn't sponsored by Dr. Motivation, but speaking of sponsorship, we have had some responses to where in the Alex Horn episode, we uncovered a fit and proper exclusive. It was in the news, Lloyd, if you consider things like comedy blog websites news. But anyway,
Chortle, Beyond a Joke.
Chortle,
British Comedy Guide.
British Comedy Guide. Well-respected institution, actually. Recently reviewed my show very favourably. Well-respected institution, the British Comedy Guide. Check them out. But they brought it up. They you know, they followed along. Oh, exclusive on Fit and Proper. Kind of plugged the podcast. Didn't really do much for us. The point is, Alex Horn revealed that Taskmaster are sponsoring his team that he's on the board of, Chesham United. And then we realised, wait, why don't we as a podcast sponsor some sort of team? We put the call out. We told you to get in touch with us. Several different teams of varying levels. I say varying. All quite unprofessional levels.
Oh, very unprofessional levels.
They've all got in touch to say, you know, do you want to get involved? Do you want to sponsor? I think we should round up more. Also, my Rachel, who is runs my tour.
Do you just call her My Rachel?
My tour, I was going to say tour.
But you called
promoter,
her My Rachel.
But that seemed like not enough. So Rachel, My Rachel.
Sounded very Saudi.
Well, she said, she told me that there's a local team near her that is a sort of, I think it was something like an under 15 girls team who are looking for sponsorship and would probably be interested. And then we both came to the realization that plastering the words fit and proper on an under 15s girls team might not be ideal.
Oh, right, not ideal. Yeah,
might be too ideal.
Yeah.
It's too perfect. yeah, so we are looking. Let's round up more. So get in touch with Mia Lloyd if you want your team sponsored with the Fit and Proper logo across it. Is there a logo with a text?
Well, do you know what? Creative Kicks have been in touch, and I'm gonna out a few people already that have been in touch. Creative Kicks, who are a monthly kick around networking event for Cardiff's creative community. New players welcome, which basically is graphic designers. I'm sure it's your DOPs,
right?
Your gaffers. Their design stuff already is absolutely brilliant. There's a picture of them with Ellis James on the 6th of May. I mean, so they're already in what I'd like to call the community.
Fit and Proper alumni already mingling with F&P history.
They said, just listening to your podcast about sponsoring a team, and we're looking for a sponsor at the moment, football emoji, fingers crossed emoji. Just going to leave this here. And then they sent this photo, Rhys, where they've already mocked up.
Oh, they've done a mock-up. Pop it on the Instagram, Lloyd. Pop it on the Instagram. They've done a mock-up of the kit.
Of the kit, and it looks...
It looks fantastic.
It looks fantastic.
Oh, my God, it looks so good.
I mean, when we said they're the Cardiff creative community, they have taken the logo, the tech, the font that we use, and they've applied it to their already existing quite lovely top. And I'm not going to lie to you, I'd quite happily not look at any of the messages if it looks that sexy. I've also had one from Sam K. Hi guys, loving the pod. Unfortunately, I'm not a big celeb listener who wants to come on the show. Happily though, I do run a Sunday football club, 2 men's, 4 youth teams, and would be willing to wear the Fit and Proper logo on a kit. Bad news is, we're all the way down in Plymouth, but good news is, we're crap. And we could definitely do with a full season being slated by opponents for how we're unfit and not proper. So, I mean, they're really getting into it.
Yeah, you know, don't worry about being crap. We're not expecting to get the Man City gig here.
Yeah.
You know, we have an undisclosed budget, as we said. And you know what that means? It ain't much, boy.
Oh, it's not. We can categorically tell you it's not a lot. Dave Mitchell sent in one saying, Lana, Cornwall. And this is a beautiful message. It starts with a photo, okay? And I'll try and describe the photo. And he actually describes it here. He goes, an idyllic pitch cut into the side of a hill. And then on the photo, there is a sofa on the side of a hill looking at a football pitch. Fit and proper across the chest of 30-year-old sweaty men clinging onto a dream that's long gone. It's a naff level, but the lads will be up for any silly promo. It's not silly promo. This is really serious promo stuff. if you'd like to...
That, and the last one was, we'd be willing to wear the logo.
Yeah,
as if it was some sort of punishment. That they were like, you know what, we'll take it. You need to want this, lads.
Also, do you know what? I have to say, Dave Mitchell really does want this. What he's gone here is, it's a laugh, but the lads would be up for any silly promo stuff you'd like, up to Alex Horn level. Wearing goalie gloves outfield or Magliano, we all get involved in organised crime. We'd probably have to draw the line at breeding programmes that others have suggested. So Dave really has been listening to, I'd say,
so
all
they're
the
up for doing some wacky stuff as well. Interesting. That sort of puts you in the lead, I'd say. Then again, the graphic design on the first kit, that kit, oh my God. Okay, it's hard to know, but I think before we can make a decision on who it's going to be, you know, let's give everyone another chance to get their entries in.
Absolutely. But what I will tease you with, okay, can you remember a few years ago, I think it was Aston Villa versus, it was the Kazoo Derby. I can't remember who else was. Oh, Everton. It was Everton, Aston Villa. It was the Kazoo Derby. Kazoo, yeah, you can. Wouldn't it be good if we said, look, we haven't got loads of money, but we can sponsor 2 or 3 teams. And then we essentially have like...
We have Fit and Proper derbies going round. We've got an empire.
Let's just think. Tottenham Hotspur, the team that you support, the last bit of silverware they won was the Audi Trophy. Yeah?
Sure. Oh, you want to create the Fit and Proper Cup?
All I'm saying is we create the Fit and Proper Cup.
The Fit and Proper Cup. Spurs get a bye to the final if we're doing that.
Well, I mean, to be fair, they should be able to play in the group stages and win, hopefully. And if they can't, then...
Should be. It depends how seriously old Big Ange takes it, you know?
So if you want to be sponsored by Fit and Proper or be in the pot for it, Please send your suggestions. Either DM them to me, at Lloyd Griffith, to Reese, at Reese Jamesy, to the Fit and Proper Pod Instagram account, which is Fit and Proper Pod. A few of you come from that. Or email. I mean, if you still use an email, grander. And then we'll try and make some decisions in the next few weeks, I would say, Reese boy.
Yeah, we'll round up all the ideas and we will decide. Now, who's on the podcast today, Lloyd? I'll tell you, it's Matthew Bainton.
Okay, that's not how a podcast co-host works. It's kind of, you give me a little bit and I give you a little bit.
Now, Matthew Bainton.
Okay, go on.
You'll know Matthew Bainton from, Lloyd?
Ghosts.
Ghosts, for example,
the
among
wrong
other things.
Mans.
The Wrong Mans.
Other things.
Lots of things. Lots of excellent things. Yonderland.
Yonderland.
Horrible Histories. Speaking of Horrible Histories, he's a Spurs fan.
Oh, that is a good link.
I take it back immediately. We've got a great history. It's the present day that's trouble. The history is fantastic. Horrible present day. That's what I want to see from Matt Bainton next. And it's just him on the pitch at halftime at Spurs.
What we should mention, though, is we recorded this a few weeks back when Spurs weren't in the capable hands of Ange.
Go on, I'd like you to say it.
The new football manager of Tottenham
Hotspur. Postecoglou.
Postecoglou. So this, the time of record was a few weeks back. So if you're thinking, what are you on about? Why is he not happy? We've got Ange. It's because we recorded it about 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Exactly. And we do know for a fact, as you know from the episode title, that old Bainton didn't pick Spurs. He didn't want to sully his relationship with the club. So... that's not necessarily why, but so he picked a different team, as is seen from the episode title, and I think we should get involved. Let's dig into what he did.
And also, we'll come back at the end, because there is actually something quite revealing that we've seen in the last few weeks that Matt pointed out to us, that he basically uncovers that we're like, what the F?
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
Should we get into it, Reese?
Yes, please.
Today on the podcast, we have writer, actor, musician, singer, bloody good looking bloke. It's Lloyd Griffith, ladies and gentlemen. When I was reading your bio, I was like, we are spirit animals. Did not think. Anyway, it's Matt/Matthew Bainton. Because we had a little argument beforehand where I said, would you like Matthew or Matt? And you went, whatever you want. I was like, well, no, I think it's down to you because it is your name.
But apparently it's not. I don't believe either of them are your name, really.
Well, I sort of said something spontaneously, and I meant it.
Oh, did you?
I've never said it before.
Go on.
Is that neither of them really feel like my name.
Yeah. It's such a profound thing to say for the first time.
Really?
But then mean it, but you've never said it
before.
But
I also sort of thought you would both be like, yeah, I get that.
So a sort of name blindness of like your O, but with yourself, where it doesn't, if someone shouts out your name, you're like,
yeah, like name dysmorphia. It just doesn't, I sort of don't feel like that's me when I've always felt this as well.
I think Lloyd's quite a weird name, especially growing up in Grimsby. I was one of, I think, maybe two Lloyds in a population of, I think we're talking about 86,000 in Grimsby, 160 if you include in Cleethorpes.
He's got the stats.
Yeah, say again.
You've got the stats.
Oh, no, I know all the stats.
Have you seen Lloyd's act? It's all Grimsby stats, genuinely.
Essentially, yeah.
He just
gets
us a quiz about Grimsby.
With a little bit of singing in there. Let's not forget the singing.
Right. So how many Lloyds did you say?
I think two living. Back in 83.
Right.
83 to 85, I think two living Lloyds. And then I kind of just stuck with it, but it didn't... I guess I was like, oh, it feels a bit weird. Do you know what I mean? Little fat working class lad called Lloyd. It just felt a bit odd when everyone else was called...
You don't have name dysmorphia, Lloyd. You're obsessed with your name.
I've got body dysmorphia. Is that the same thing?
I don't actually know what dysmorphia is. I have to confess at this point. It just felt right to say it.
None of these words mean anything to you.
Yeah.
Not your own
it's
name.
It's not just
dysmorphia.
My name. It turns out it's just, it's
any,
language.
Any language.
I don't know. Words don't sound like they are what they mean.
Thanks for coming on the podcast.
I think this is good because you're on a podcast which is about reinvention. It's about world building. You can build a whole new identity for yourself and pick a name that feels right.
Oh, yeah.
As the sort
That's
of chairman of this
Let's
club eventually.
Start with the name.
Well, you've got one T in your name, in the first name, and one T in the second name, actually.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah. Any middle names?
John.
No T's there.
No.
How does that feel? John. You don't strike me as a John, I'll say
no,
that.
No, but it feels as much my name as Matt does.
Right.
Which isn't
Matt.
Much.
He's used Matt there.
He's used Matt.
He's using
okay,
Matt.
Okay, less
and
I
used Matt and I...
Yeah, I said Matt / Matthew.
You're that easily led about your own name that you just so doesn't feel like your name.
Anything
just
you
anything you
on,
want to call yeah. me is fine.
People get my name wrong all the time and I just go with it. I'm like, well,
what do they say? Jack Black?
Yeah, Jack Black or Little Toppy Fella. Paul?
Paul.
Yeah, every now and then.
Potts.
Paul Potts.
Yeah. They just, I mean, this isn't my story, but I'll tell it anyway. You're going to have Jim Howick on this podcast, aren't you?
Yeah,
hopefully.
Dear friend of mine. He once spent a whole day working with an assistant director. And at the end of the day went, nice one, Fall, and shook his hand. His name was Shay.
Fall.
He said Fall, not only like getting his name wrong, but like just inventing one.
Fall.
We were like, have
insane.
You ever met someone called Fall?
Isn't
he went,
that...
no, I just
How
I thought
that...
his name was Fall. We were like, but you haven't misheard Shay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How is that possible? Really awkward.
It's such a swing that you just say,
nice
mate,
one,
surely.
And like really confidently throwing out his hand for a handshake. Nice one, Fall. It's been a tough day.
When was...
Fall?
I think Fall is just sort of weird enough to invent that you could just assume it was Jim's slang for pal.
That's it's a Fall. Potato dish is what it is.
Yeah, yeah, it is. Yeah,
exactly.
A curried potato dish, I do believe. Is that right? Is it a Fall?
Don't come to me. I've already forgotten
what
it means.
He's got no idea what words are. Well, thank you for coming on the podcast with your name.
Like Jim Howick, you are a Spurs fan.
Yeah.
And like me
very
as well.
Much so, yeah.
You're saying that with a sort of, you know, misanthropic tone. You seem disappointed to admit it.
It must be awful being a Spurs fan, you know, top half of the Premier League in an amazing stadium.
This is the thing. We were just saying, Spurs are basically, I mean, at the time of recording,
I love the...
we're basically kind of where at the beginning of the season you'd predict we would be.
I think the problem is at the beginning of this season, everyone was like, they've smashed the transfer window. They've got serial winner Antonio Conte. People like Gary Neville were saying they're the only team that can challenge Man City for the league. They were saying that. I keep getting sent these videos on Twitter.
Wow.
People were saying they're going to... I remember my dad this season...
Because we'd bought Richarlison.
We'd bought Richarlison and Bissouma. We all thought Bissouma was going to solve everything. True. And so we bought those two and we had Conte and it was like, this is it. You know, full season with Conte, first full season. And he'd got us Champions League as a sort of miracle last year. My dad bought the shirt for the first time in years this year.
Because he thought it would be the year that...
When I asked him why, he was like, well, you've got to buy it. If you're ever going to buy it, it's the year. First full season with Conte, this will be the year we win something.
Right.
And I was like, well, we're fucked now, aren't
we? So he bought the home
kit. Because he didn't want to wait until the shirt was more expensive because we'd won the league.
I think he wanted to... He wanted to...
like Bitcoin.
Yeah. He wanted
to... No, I don't think so.
I think the prices go right. Well, that's the first thing I'm
Daniel
doing.
Levy is going to go straight up, yeah.
Did he get his name on the back?
No, I don't think so. He just, I think he wanted to just wear it to every game. He wanted to just...
That's
great. Why not?
He wears a top to every game, yeah. He's not that Newcastle fan who looks like James Corden, who's always just got his top off with NUFC across his chest.
He's always
wearing a top, my dad.
I met him once.
Who, that James Corden fella?
The Newcastle fan. And then there's also the Sheffield Wednesday fan as well, who was in the Tango advert, you know, the happy slapper.
Oh, yeah.
He's top off at England. I met him. Lovely bloke. So you're a season ticket holder at Spurs?
Yeah.
And there's a quick minute silence.
Did you buy the shirt this year?
I didn't buy the shirt.
Do you ever buy the shirt?
I'm the sort of cheapskate who would be like, I'll buy a vintage one because then I can wear it every season.
Yeah. Oh, they look, they're cooler.
Yeah, it's cooler.
They're cooler.
It is cooler. I also think
the modern kits are not suitable for fans.
I don't tend to wear a shirt to the ground.
No, me.
Topless.
Feel like...
Topless.
Yeah. Completely naked.
Completely naked. Just a little sock. Big sock.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I'm not that guy. I feel like that's a weird thing to say about going to a stadium to support a football team week after week and shouting and singing and then going, I don't want to look too into it.
Yeah.
Don't look too keen.
No, but it's embarrassing in transit, basically, isn't it? It's like,
yeah.
And also,
how old are you, 10?
You really, yeah. So it feels a bit like that.
Yeah.
And I always find like, I know this is pathetic, but on the tube home, if we've lost, I'm zipping something right up to the top over the shirt. I'm like, I don't want any banter. I don't want any grief from anyone going, oh, 2-0.
Yeah.
I don't want a conversation, but so I'm hiding my identity.
I think that's especially true as a Spurs fan, because the proximity between you and your closest rivals is so close.
Oh yeah.
So like the minute you're out of the ground, you will be walking past Arsenal fans on the streets. It sucks.
It sucks. Yeah. Where do
this
you
year it sucks.
Live?
Like,
you don't have to give us the address, but like, do you live in London?
I live in London. I'm in Crouch End with all the other actors.
Oh, Crouch End with all the other actors.
And one big house, isn't it?
We're right, yeah.
It's just self-tapes all
there
day.
There was actually a house that was always populated by stand-ups.
Really?
I know.
Cranley Gardens, I think it was.
I've heard tell of this on
And it
on
just,
podcasts.
Like, for some reason, ended up being always populated by stand-ups.
Are you talking about
ones?
Is it the Phil Nichol, Kerry Marks?
Yeah, exactly. So I've lived there for a while, and it would be like whichever stand-ups you saw more than once in Dunn's the Bakery, you'd be like, oh, I bet they live at Cranley Gardens.
At the comedy house. Very just sad people.
They just took it in turns.
Depressing house in the world.
Crying about what gigs they
had. How'd you get that gig? Just all day. That's all that gets said in that house.
But it is properly on the... I would say it's almost equidistant between the stadiums. You know,
where you are.
Yeah, you've got...
So you've got prime
on
time.
Our street, Arsenal and Tottenham fans, you know, side by side, living in perfect harmony.
But well, you're in Crouch End, so it's on the bougier side of the Arsenal Spurs fans.
Exactly.
You're never going to get attacked.
They're definitely wearing retro tops. They're not buying fresh kits.
No.
They're knitted scarves.
Yeah, you're looking at Arsenal's JVC era, and you're looking at pony Spurs shirts.
They're the people who use those little pin badges that you get sent with the membership. It's just popping it on the lapel.
Lovely. Craft beer. Craft beer, pin badges. Do you want to come round for a tagine after the game?
And do you sit in a posh bit of Spurs?
No, sir.
No way.
Do you sit in a posh bit? No, sir. I'm a hooligan.
I'm one of the lads.
Yes.
Always have been. I go with my dad. I grew up in Southend, and he used to drive us up.
On sea?
He was a Spurs. On sea.
Thank you.
He used to drive us up to watch Tottenham. And then I sort of thought I had to make a choice when I was a teenager of like, I'm getting into drama and stuff now, so that's not compatible with being into football. And so I had a phase where I sort of pretended I was over football for a while sort of thought,
above it all.
Like, that's not my tribe. I can't be with this drama school tribe, like caring about football. And then, you know, once I got over myself, I was like, I really like football.
Get the Venn diagram
out, watching it and being into it.
Well, there are parallels, you know. Spurs versus Arsenal, Sharks versus Jets. You know, it's all the same, effectively.
Crying at the
end
of a performance.
Wearing retro Jets shirts.
I mean, you know, the singing.
Yeah, exactly.
We're all in choirs.
And then my dad retired and sort of announced
as
me
a Spurs
and my brothers.
Fan?
No, retired as a
working
professional.
Yeah.
And said, I want to treat myself as a retirement gift to a season ticket or a membership at Spurs.
Right.
And if you're in, I'd love to do that for you boys. And so he bought us all these memberships and we went on the waiting list for the season tickets. So we used to go to any game that we could get in that little window between season tickets and general sale. And we managed to get tickets always to the big games, even though it was White Hart Lane, which is much smaller. Anyway, now we've got season tickets because the new stadium is big
much
enough.
Bigger.
You know.
So it's you and your dad?
So me and my dad, and we're up in Shelfside.
Nice.
We're Shelfside, Tottenham.
And what's Shelfside?
East.
East Upper.
What's Shelfside mean?
So the South Stand all sing, we're Park Lane, Tottenham. And then
diagonally
and then the
across.
East Stand sing back, we are Shelfside, we're Shelfside, we're Shelfside, Tottenham.
It would be at White Hart Lane, it was constant back and forth.
Really?
You hear it less at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, but you still hear it.
You couldn't look less impressed by that.
Yeah. So you're singing at each other?
Yeah.
Oh, that's pathetic.
Pathetic?
Yeah, that's awful.
I love it.
That is awful. If that happened at Grimsby, did it happen at Grimsby the other night? Grimsby versus who were we playing? Barrow. We won 1-0. But it was so boring. Everyone got their phones out with their torches. It was like an Ed Sheeran concert.
It was so
boring.
And you've got the gall to refer and chanting about where you sit.
Hey,
pathetic.
Don't get me wrong. I didn't enjoy it.
It's similar. It happens. It often happens in the lulls. You know, and again, if the game is not entertaining enough, the crowd just start singing to each other.
We're Shelfside.
We are Shelfside, we're Shelfside, we're Shelfside, Tottenham.
You
we're
sing quite deep.
Park Lane, we're the Park Lane, we're Park Lane, Tottenham.
Where do you sit?
I don't want to say.
No, I'd rather you did.
Do you sit with Michael McIntyre?
Yeah,
Daniel Levy.
Oh, it goes Levy, McIntyre, me on the top bit where the
Does Michael
goes.
McIntyre sit next to Levy?
Often.
Do you know who sits up there?
And
genuinely.
His son.
So my dad has a premium ticket. Literally the best seat in the stadium is his seat.
Do you not sit with your dad?
No. I can't afford the premium ticket.
Who does your dad sit
My dad's on a boomer budget. It's very different.
Well, who does your dad sit with?
Sometimes my mum when he can convince her to go, and otherwise guests.
So your dad?
I have a different seat with my brother.
So your dad sounds like your dad's...
goes, but doesn't go with you.
Yeah.
This is lovely.
He used to go with us. In the new stadium, he was like, I'm spending loads of money on these premium seats, and it's literally the seat with no seat in front of it behind the tunnel.
Wow.
So it's literally bang on the halfway line, no obstruction
of view. This is beyond premium, right? Because there's premium and then there's Tunnel Club.
This isn't Tunnel Club.
Okay.
So Tunnel Club sit next to the tunnel, which is a worse seat, but they get to look through the tunnel at how sad all our players look. So the season ticket is like 1,500 quid where I sit in the West End.
Right.
In just normal bit. In terms of the demographic in there, I was there with my dad the other day for the Brighton game, and at halftime, someone came over to me and said, Reese, and I was like, here we go. Come on. Yeah, how many selfies do you need? You want tickets? And then this lady went, I'm Brett's mum. And it was Brett Goldstein's mum.
Oh, well. Yeah.
That's what you're dealing with.
And then I just had a picture with Brett Goldstein's mum and dad, sent it to Brett, and it was, you know,
you're dealing
very
with
pleasant.
Hollywood A-listers.
Dealing with Hollywood
parents.
A-listers parents. Yeah. That's ridiculous. In there. And Brett's parents were there as well.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, good stuff.
Have you been in anything Hollywood-wise?
Yeah, just a bit. Have you seen About a Boy?
Is that Nicholas Holt joke?
Yeah,
lovely.
Oh, I thought Daisy Ridley.
Yeah, Star Wars About a Boy. Come on. Go on IMDb.
You said also that sits with Daniel Levy, with Michael McIntyre. Who else? You're going to say someone, and I really interrupted. Who was
that?
That
is Brett's parents who sit up there. When I was then chatting, where are you? They were like, we're right at the front of the thing or something like that. Yeah. That might not be true, but that's my memory. Is I was like, what, with Daniel Levy?
We should get Brett's parents on this podcast.
We should get Brett's parents. We can't get Brett.
We can't get Brett.
Really?
We text Brett all the time.
Sorry,
hi,
I'm meeting the president again.
Right.
Yeah, with the week we asked him to come on the podcast, he's
meeting.
He was
at
the
just
White
said
House.
He can't, and then there was, suddenly a video of him stood behind Joe Biden.
He said, sorry, Matt, wow. Can't. Wow. Ridiculous, isn't it?
But you, anyway, sorry, let's not go
you.
That.
So you grew up in Southend, but your dad was a Spurs fan.
Dad was a Spurs fan.
And so there was no Southend visiting when you were a kid?
I never went.
Really?
And no one I knew supported them, Southend.
Really?
Like, everyone supported... You know, it was Glory supporters. There was a lot of Man United and Liverpool shirts. Mm-hmm. And then London clubs, West Ham, Tottenham, a bit of Arsenal, but more right. Those two. So yeah, I feel like I don't know, but it's probably still like that in Southend.
Well, breaking news.
We go live to Southend United. There's a new chairman, someone no doubt plotting a beautiful, not horrible, history with players ghosting in at the back post. He's sure to fit the bill. Very much the right man, not the wrong man's for the job. Yes, the new owner, it's the iconic Matthew Bainton.
Wow. So, I mean, you don't go to the games, but you've just bought Southend.
Yeah.
Southend United.
Why is that? Why did you go for Southend over... taking over Spurs, because it's an absolute train wreck at Spurs?
No, I think Spurs is just too... I'm just too emotionally attached to do good business there. I feel like if I had chosen Spurs, I would just be... I would just, through tears, be trying to say Mauricio Pochettino.
Yeah.
And those are the two words you'd get out of me, and then I'd weep for an hour.
It'd be the whole podcast would just be... Yeah. He's magic, you know? How much did it set you back to buy Southend then?
Well, look... when I was making this choice, I did a quick Google of how much it cost Reynolds and McElhenney to buy Wrexham.
How much was it? A million?
Two, apparently.
Yeah.
Two million?
Yeah.
Absolute chump change to those guys.
Well, exactly. And, I mean, I can't afford that. But then I also looked at Southend's recent sort of issues and discovered that the owner recently applied for a loan for 5 million to pay off the debt they're in. Ay, ay, ay. So on the one hand, I suppose that means they just give it to me.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, that means I need 5 million.
Yeah. Yeah. To pay off the
to
debt.
To pay off the debt. So,
but in theory, not your debt, his debt.
I think it's the club's, isn't it? If I've taken ownership of the club.
Yeah, but what's the name?
But he's also, he's a property developer.
Yeah.
Who's like, I think the club sort of pay his company for part of the stadium. It's it's all quite murky.
Yeah.
I don't want to make any, I don't want to say it's anything so, libelous.
But it's so shady football. You think that this is like, especially at these lower levels under the spotlight, they just get away with so much. And then, but then actually it's not true, because then you go to the top level and Man City are doing the exact same.
Yeah, it is. It's almost as if there's financial corruption at work.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, again, we don't want to cast aspersions. Game. Ron Martin, the businessman who owns Southend United.
Ron Martin would be a good name.
Famously, some reports say that he was a member of the Great British 1980 Winter Olympics bobsleigh team.
He apparently was on standby.
What?
For a call-up.
For the bobsleigh team?
Yeah, but didn't get the call.
Wow.
That's what I heard.
That's a dream.
Oh, no, to be fair.
I mean, I say heard. I read you probably read the same Wikipedia page you're reading.
Where the West
morning.
Essex Guardian reported that in the 1970s he was on standby to join the Great British bobsleigh. The call never came.
Yeah. Phone never rang. So, just staring at the phone the whole Olympics.
We've all waited for a call, haven't we? I mean, to see if a job's happened. It's never meant to be represent Great Britain.
The thing is, I can equally confidently say that I didn't compete for Britain in any.
Yeah. You're the same.
You could write the same story about me.
Yeah, the call never came. The call never came.
A lot of us, look, we're in a certain industry where you have to hear and use the phrase, I got down to the final two for that, quite a lot. Rarely is that we're referring to. The Team GB bobsleigh team.
The amount of times I've said I was down to the final two for that.
Yeah.
Often I say I was down to the final five for that.
You've got to stop saying
the final
it.
Five is pathetic.
The thing is, when you, have you ever been sort of the other side of a casting process? Like, have you ever cast something?
No, we're not that successful.
That's when you find out that the people going, that there are 20 people saying I was down to the last two.
Oh, I've never believed it once, even when I've said it. Even when it's come out of my own mouth, I've not once believed I was down to the final.
And also, when you get the job, you weren't the first person offered.
Yeah.
That's awful.
I was down to the final one once, and I still didn't get it.
Wow.
Yeah.
But I once found out that I was the brief for the casting for an advert, but I wasn't put up for it.
I love that.
What, so your picture?
They wanted someone like me.
But Matthew Bainton type.
Yeah.
The worst is when
he's
they
available.
Say, we've gone in another direction. That's the word when they go, oh, I'm afraid we've gone in. Imagine being the bobsleigh team, being on the sun, we've gone in another direction.
What, up?
Yeah, we're going up.
You really could have done with me in there, because you're going the wrong way. Lad.
You're going the wrong way.
Yeah, that's going to take ages.
He's the worst.
It's really steep.
Momentum-wise, at least. I mean, good God.
There was what, usually when you go, oh, they're going in a different direction, you're going, all right, well, I was shit, they don't like me. There was one where our agent was like, oh, Lloyd, I'm afraid they've gone in a different direction. I was a bit gutted. I was like, fine, fair enough. And I saw that Asim Chowdhury got it. I was like, oh, they have absolutely gone in a different direction. Yeah. And that direction is successful.
Yeah, they've gone for a good actor.
They've gone for a Hollywood successful actor.
They want a good actor. Say that, I wouldn't have gone for it.
Well, I wouldn't have auditioned.
So you need 5 million quid.
I need 5 million somehow, yeah.
And have
you bringing back ghosts?
That now seems foolish.
10 more
to
series,
stop that.
Yeah.
I mean, the idea that I'd make 5 million in 10 series.
Let's do 30 then.
Yeah.
I'm presuming it's exponential, you know, so it's like compound interest.
I'd have to do tens of series.
Oh, would you?
Also, the ghosts can't age, so that's problematic
if I'm still
playing 20-something-year-old Thomas Thorne in my 80s.
Yeah, that's a bit of a mistake in the writing, I'd say.
Yeah, I don't know. We could go sort of the Irishman with it and just like CGI our faces to look younger, even though we're walking like old men.
Yeah. You're leaning heavily on makeup here, the makeup team. But that's fine.
So no, I don't think ghosts is my route to the finances. Maybe I'll go the Reynolds route and just sort of
sell your gin
make
company.
Some booze. Yeah. I'd have to start a gin company in order to sell it.
Yeah.
But maybe that's what I'll do.
What would be your booze of choice if you were going to do one of these big investments in a...
Good question. What has no one really done that's, but no, hang on, that's not good business thinking, is it? Because that if they've not done it, that's because there's a good reason not to do it.
So the main ones I'd say have so far been vodka, tequila.
Who's vodka?
Vodka isn't like The Rock or someone like that got a big vodka thing?
Surely you'd have whiskey if you're The Rock. Whiskey on the
There's lots of whiskey guys.
Whiskey Beckham's got a whiskey, hasn't he?
McConaughey's got a whiskey.
Yeah, there's loads of...
Sorry, why is... What? Sorry, surely if you're The Rock, you do whiskey. And then the advert is just him pouring whiskey on himself.
As I say, there's like whiskey tequila
whiskey.
Ones.
I'll have a whiskey on the
I'll have a whiskey on The Rock.
Can anyone... Can you edit some laughter in?
That is good.
Yeah, no, it is. It's
you should get it out
good.
To Dwayne, because yeah. he...
Oh, here we go. First name, is it?
Well, that's his name, isn't it?
Yeah, but you use it, do you?
Well...
Don't put up with this. There's no need for this.
No, but it's...
Lloyd's on
are
the
you saying I'm as much The Rock as Dwayne?
Yeah.
Is this a...
I don't know.
Whiskey on Dwayne, you're saying. Pouring it on himself, and it's whiskey on Dwayne, and that's the marketing campaign. I'll have a whiskey on Dwayne. Actually, that would be a better marketing campaign, because you get so many comments sending it viral, saying, yeah. Why didn't you do On The Rock?
No, but remember...
All you need is engagement for this
sort of
stuff.
Southern Comfort were like, hey, can I get a SoCo? It's like, what the fuck, mate?
Yeah, and everyone went mad.
And it went mad, because it was so insane. Can I get a SoCo? What's a SoCo? Oh, can I get a Southern Comfort on with Coca-Cola? It's like, that. No one says SoCo.
No one's ever
and here
said
we are,
SoCo.
7.5 years later, plugging it to 350,000 listeners. Well, I'm thinking in 5 years' time when this podcast kicks off, it'll be 350,000.
I reckon the Whiskey on the Rock thing could be big enough that
the
ownership just of that bit of marketing.
Yeah.
Let's say that's 0.5% of the company he's willing to give us for that.
Yeah.
I think... 5 mil each.
So
fine.
That's going to be it. You're going to get you reckon you're getting 5 mil
my,
from whiskey.
My
on the
share
rock.
Of the IP of a joke that Lloyd came up with in front of me.
Where is it being filmed?
I'm sorry.
Where's the advert being filmed? Gibraltar. What's Gibraltar called?
It's called Dwayne.
It's called Dwayne. Producer Faye, like, literally went, she had a little nod as in, that's really well
it's
thought
not bad
out.
Stuff, to be fair, Lloyd. But
Gibraltar is called The Rock.
Yeah, sure.
So that's
Whiskey on the Rock on the Rock.
Whiskey on the Rock on the Rock.
Actually on the rocks, because there's two rocks there.
There you go. So you're pouring it on Dwayne.
So he's next to Gibraltar.
He's on Gibraltar.
He's on Gibraltar, and some of it's going on
so
Gibraltar.
Okay.
So he pours it on himself, and the camera would have to pan down.
Because you need
multiple
rocks to say rocks.
Yeah.
Well, the minimum is two. Yeah. And what you've got there is you've got Gibraltar and also Dwayne.
Yeah.
You just get someone on a ladder just going, oh, do you know what I want? Pouring whiskey on Dwayne, on Gibraltar, whiskey on the rocks.
Yeah.
5 million quid each.
Camera pans down to the rock, Gibraltar, and he asks, Dwayne has to be like just so you can see it's going there as well in the advert, so everyone knows it rocks.
It's a long
really
ad.
Labour the point, and you make 5 million quid. Minimum.
We all make. We've got 5 mil each. What? It feels so like Lloyd.
I don't know. How I've got involved.
I don't know.
Well, you were as involved as I was.
fair enough.
Okay. Oh well, I'm happy to help and invest. And again,
thanks.
This is what this podcast.
Okay,
is
so you're
about.
In. Well, okay, you're in. You're debt free.
Southend.
You've got
the Shrimpers,
and you've also got this. Investment that's going to keep growing, you transfer budget and whatnot for the day-to-day running of the
club. I'm going to keep coming up with adverts, by the way.
Okay.
So don't worry about that.
Great. I mean, we're going to need some marketing.
Yeah.
Even the local kids don't support this team.
That's a good
so
slogan.
So that there is an issue.
That's a good slogan. Even the local kids don't support this team. Southend.
Southend United.
Southend United, yeah.
Be in the minority.
Root Sport. Be in the minority.
Yeah. They're actually a hipster club you can support now because no one...
Yeah.
Hipster clubs are now too popular to be, by definition, hipster clubs. You know, Dulwich Hamlet have too many fans to be a hipster club anymore because it needs to be going against the grain, whereas Southend, no one supports them.
I don't think I want to go hipster.
You don't want to go hipster?
No.
You want to go mainstream?
I just think I feel like, although Southend was a choice based in like... I grew up in Southend. I've got to choose a football club. I may as well choose then.
Yeah.
Now that I've found out their recent woes, I'm a bit like I owe it to these people. The actual fans, few though they may be, deserve their club back.
So, now here's a guy who knows how to write scripts. This is absolute community spirit. Bringing reinvesting in the local area, bringing back a sense of belonging.
There's heartache.
To the people
and
in the area.
And there's Jeopardy.
They suffered.
I think you're going to save the cat here.
They were in the Championship insanely recently, given they're a National League side.
They are.
They slid fast.
Grimsby got relegated in the same year as Southend.
Right.
We were both in it last season. The season before, we both got relegated. And it was like two big teams dropping down into the National League. I went to Roots
Hall. But you went back up, right? Southend are like mid-table.
Yeah, but they were doing really badly as well for a long period of time. And now they look like they're kind of on the up a little bit. I have to say, when I went to see them last season, an incredible fish and chip shop, by the way. Oh, my gosh.
Which one? Oldham's, weirdly.
Yeah, Oldham's, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Oldham's fish and chip shop.
Well, it's on the sea.
It is, yeah. Oh, actually, I went to another fish and chip shop.
I never questioned that. That was our, like, growing up, that was a really special thing if Dad said he would drive to Oldham's and get fish and chips. That was the famous fish and chips place in Westcliff-on-Sea.
It's so good.
But it's called Oldham's.
I've got a
never
picture.
Never questioned that growing up.
I've got a picture of me outside it.
Is it someone's name?
Yeah, Paul Oldham.
Could it be your name?
Could be.
You're going to be reinventing yourself.
Okay, so that will be my name as the owner, Paul Oldham.
Paul Oldham. Paul Oldham's. Southend United.
Oldham.
And you have to not... You're going to have to clarify. I don't run the fish and chip shop, by the way.
I don't run the fish... No, I do.
Oh, you
and
now that, do.
And I'm sponsoring the shirt.
There was a queue outside the fish and chip shop.
So...
Yeah, it's that good.
You're taking over Southend United and you're also takeover bid of Oldham's Fish and Chip Shop.
Well, I've got...
Changing your name to the name of the Fish and Chip Shop.
I mean, to be honest, we all... None of us got enough out of the Rocks deal.
I'm just showing the whole room. It's a photo of me outside of Oldham's.
Outside Oldham's.
I believed you, Lloyd. If ever you tell me a story about going to a fish and chip shop, I'm going to believe you, okay? At no point am I going to go, I need photographic evidence of this.
They do lovely fish and chips.
There is actually another one that's closer to the stadium, which I was actually talking about.
Oh.
Lloyd, don't look for another photo. We've got podcast eyes, for fuck's sake.
This is content for the podcast, mate.
And now there's no way Harry is keeping any of this in.
You don't think?
Have you listened to these edits? None of this stuff ever ends up in. We need to get into it. Okay, so you're going to rescue the community.
I'm going
to bring back a sense of vibe. How are you going to do it?
I'm going to let Oldham's continue to run the fish and chips.
Good idea.
But I'm going to buy them as well in order to sponsor the shirt.
The fish house.
Because it's got to... I've never been to the fish house, Lloyd. I've been to Oldham's, I explain this.
Good name for the stadium, though, the fish house.
That's not bad. Oh, yeah. Well, they can have the stadium name and Oldham's can have the shirt.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not sure they'd like their competition, presumably. No, they're not in the same borough. They're in different boroughs.
No, the fish house is...
The fish house is Southend. Oldham's is Westcliff.
Yeah.
So then they're not in competition. No, I think they can share side by side.
Yeah. I also like the fact that you've got Oldham's on the front in a league where Oldham are in the same league.
It all confused the opposition.
They won't know who to pass to when you play at Oldham.
They think they're playing Oldham every week, so they set up accordingly because that's the level of tactics we're talking about in this league.
Okay.
They prepare for Oldham. They get Southend. Sucker punch.
Shit.
I'm going to be like... unlike recent years, I'm keen to make sure the players are paid.
Yeah, really?
This is the other thing I discovered in my research, is that several times in the last few seasons, the players have not been paid. And they've had to get the PFA involved. So I'm going to pay the players.
Mm.
And the motivation is going to be
As soon as you
different.
Do that, you just change everything.
You just, yeah.
I think
they get to feed themselves. They could afford to go to Oldham's if they want.
Oh, they don't get it for free?
They presumably get it for free.
Yeah, well, it's up to you.
If they wait long enough...
At
the end of the shift...
they get the scraps.
Yeah.
You say scraps like it's like...
No. I understand the use of scraps was very intentional.
Yeah,
this is eco-friendly. This is sustainable.
Yeah.
We're feeding the club. And we're not having waste.
No waste. Feeding the club. It's part of the payment.
Yeah.
And free advertising for your own business via your other business. I mean, a bit like, say, being a property developer who rents out the stadium to himself. So has a lot changed, really, at Southend?
But you're just yeah. Well, you're just deciding to pay the play the players.
Yeah, fair enough.
In fact, actually, I have thought about this, and moving forward,
yeah.
Like I think at the point Southend are at, just paying the players is probably fine.
Yeah.
But one of the things that becomes an issue when you get into the sort of higher leagues is this thing about, are the players motivated and playing for the badge? Are they too well paid and they play for themselves?
Yeah.
That comes up again and again, right? For supporters of any major club.
Mm-hmm.
I want to run a cooperative where the players are actually invested in the club itself.
Lovely.
So when you sign for Southend, a bit like the former, you don't get paid.
Right, okay. We had quite the climb down, actually.
There's a bit of a U-turn here, yeah.
What I'm saying is you get paid in
what about
stocks.
Shares?
You get shares.
You get of the club.
You get basically 50% of your earnings, but 50% of it is in shares, and you can only take that out once you've been released by the club a year later.
You know what? I want to be fair. You can choose to just get paid. And that is negotiated with you or your agent or your brother if you're Harry Kane.
Yeah.
But I don't think we can afford Harry. I just make that clear.
Well, if he takes 100% shares, you never know.
Has he been
told? But they can choose whether they're going to be paid the wage that's been agreed or whether they want to decrease that wage and put it into a percentage.
This is like the
deal
on that Star Wars story. Who's the actor in Star Wars who everyone was offered a cut of the film?
Chewbacca.
Or you could be offered like $2,000 for your time to do it.
Right.
And all of them took a cut of the franchise except one who took $2,000.
Wow.
And I don't know if you know this, but Star Wars, very successful in the end.
They've got a new spin-off.
Films. They've got big films.
Picard. John Luke Picard.
They keep making them.
Keep on making them.
To infinity and beyond.
So you're basically offering the chance to be on the ground floor of Star Wars FC.
Star Wars FC.
And this will be your marketing pitch when players come. Is like,
yeah,
look at that mug who didn't take the Star Wars.
I think crucially, you have to have a percentage, even if you're choosing the smallest percentage to wage ratio.
It's a little bit like,
because you have to have some investment in. We don't just succeed as a team. We succeed as a club.
As a cooperative.
Yeah.
And what's quite nice is that if you then do get promoted, those bonuses come back. You have a good cup run, those bonuses come back. But that lad who's gone, actually, I want 95% cash and 5% skin in the game.
Yeah.
Well, actually, fuming, because that skin is now
and also,
expanding.
You know, and he has an opportunity to renegotiate.
Yes.
That's fine. You know,
shares are going to cost you a little bit more.
They're
going to
cost a bit
days.
More because the rest of your team have achieved something together in that spirit.
Yeah, I think that's a really good idea. And
you
I think
get a real sense of the character of the player in the negotiation straight away.
Yeah, they're all doing it themselves.
You'd immediately, when you're chatting, go, okay, this guy's in it for himself. So you'd know how to manage them straight away.
Yeah.
It's another two-parter. Matthew had so much time for us and so much to say. We've split this episode into two, so come back tomorrow. Or if you're listening in the future, just search for part two of this episode to find out what Matthew Bainton does when he takes over Southend United. It may involve Dwayne Johnson. See you then.